The only way that I ever select anything is that I generally it's a sacral feeling, like which one's going to work. And then if they're all a sacral yes, then it boils down to like when I start writing, what flows out the easiest, you know, what flows easiest. And also
So
like,
writing is your process. That's a like that's a classic, like you got thoughts in the head, write it out, get it outside of the head on paper so you can see it out of your head, materialize, you can do something with it.
I think being an MG, but also having a wide open head, everything for me like lives in the ethers. So I have to grab it and bring it down and putting it on paper. And sometimes it's just gibberish on paper. And then I can like make sense of it from there. But yeah, if I don't make something concrete or material, then it doesn't ever, it does, nothing ever happens with it.
These are practical conversations about real-life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to each other. A human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
So AC Brown, in my life with you, working with you, there's something that I've noticed. There's a little bit of like resentment toward manifesting generators.
That is correct.
And you're a little bit hard on them, in my opinion.
Very.
Maybe a little bit of bitterness.
Maybe a little bit of bitterness.
Oh, no. Very.
Jasmine Kenna just beaming. So I really want to explore that today, running a business as an MG, but in a strange way of opening up. I wonder if, yeah, there's a bit of resentment toward the MG from this projector. And would you be able to tell us maybe a little bit about that?
Pull up a chair, people.
Or where this feeling comes from. Because as me watching the experience, sometimes I feel you're a bit hard on them.
Yeah, pull up a chair.
Okay.
Pull up a chair, people. Okay. So I think, so there's a little bit of both bitterness, resentment, and hard on them. But there's valid reason. So let's start with the bitterness and the resentment.
Okay.
The bitterness and the resentment come from, as a projector, and this is before I knew I was a projector. So in my early 20s, I did a lot of things. Like I started in college. I had a PR firm that I started with a friend. She was an MG. We did little of like, I've been around a block. I've tried a lot of stuff. I'm a 3-5. And surprisingly, I used to hang around and I was in relationships with MGs, and I didn't know it because I didn't know about human design. So this is where the bitterness and resentment comes from, because I would notice, even in that young stage of me, hello, my signature is success. So I wanted to be successful from since I was 8 years old. I'm going to be successful, yada, yada. So hanging around a lot of MGs in my formative years, looking back in hindsight, I noticed how they could just make things happen. And for me, being around that energy, it was always such a struggle for me to make things happen. I always noticed that, why can't I just get up and take charge and go? Like, especially like in MLM, I sold Mary Kay 3 times, by the way, like FYI. And so I used to have friends who would join with me, and then all of a sudden they'd be like qualifying for a pink Cadillac and all very quickly. And I was like, what the fuck?
And then they'd be quitting. They'd be like, we're out of here. We're not going to do this shit anymore.
Right. Yeah. Then they'll be quitting.
Yeah. And then they left. They got their Cadillac. They're gone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That also happened. Same thing when I started my human design journey, but almost 12 years ago, I was going to open up a human design life coaching practice with an MG. And we started studying together, taking courses together. And then she was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. All of these things, we spent money, all of this stuff. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I want to, like, we were supposed to do this. She's like, no, it's just not feeling good anymore. I was just like, okay. So my resentment comes from the way that MGs, especially in business, can just go and make things happen, produce something, make a profit. It really excel very quickly. The hard on of me being hard on them, the hard on
boner,
right? The hard on the boner, the thing why I'm so hard on them, especially in coaching and in like when I'm doing consulting with MGs, is because of that resentment of you being able to focus and get things done and produce fast. You want to do every fucking thing under the sun. That doesn't make sense to me. So why? So you want to open up a hair salon. Then you like, oh, I sell real estate too. And then I'm also like a baker. And it's just like,
yeah, because we got it like that. Yeah. But
to me, that's where the hard on comes in. Yeah. Of why I'm hard on MG
boner
is because that doesn't make sense
to you.
And why it doesn't make sense right to me, because if I have all of that energy that I can make something happen so quickly, why not expand on that and focus on that and bring that to a huge success first and then trickle in my energy elsewhere? But no, you're like, oh, okay, this worked for a month. Now it's time for me to add on the boutique in the back of my hair salon part because people are coming in here. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. So it's, I respect and I admire the go get them, the make things happen really quickly, the why I'm so like, you know, chastising them so much is because I personally, as a projector who my signature is success, hello, I'm like, you have a straight path to making X amount of dollars.
It's a crooked path. It's a crooked path.
But to me, it's straight.
Non-linear.
Though.
Yeah.
Non-linear.
To me, it's straight. It's non-linear. But to me, I'm like, you have a thing. It's working. Well, stick to that thing.
Well, you can, I mean, in all fairness, you can see that. You as a projector,
I can see that.
Now we have to feel that though. And sometimes the thing is, I don't feel this like straight path until I'm like over on the other side and I'm like, oh, I could have done it like that. But you know what? I'm glad I didn't, because since I went this, I zigged and I zagged and I met Vanessa or I met AC or I met Rachel and then this happened and now I'm doing a podcast. Who knew? Like I wasn't my plan.
Totally.
That's what frustrates me is because you see what I see after the fact, after you have the hair salon that's successful, then you got the boutique in the background, then you got your real estate license and you're like, oh, I don't really need to get my real estate license. I told you that 6 months ago, you didn't need to get your real estate license.
I'm like, but did I ask you? No, just kidding.
Right. Exactly. No, you're exactly right. So that's where it comes from. So sorry.
Well, that's the thing is this, what like a misconception I see from like manifestors and projectors is they think that if they were a sacral being, they would just be themselves, but with energy. And it's like, nope,
no, you wouldn't.
It doesn't work that way.
No,
it comes having the defined sacral comes with this whole other thing where you have to completely let go of like the logical way of getting somewhere. Otherwise you will literally drive yourself crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be like the perfect person would be like,
yeah, that's the ultimate hybrid
of projector or manifester with like unlimited energy.
Of course we're like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Cause it's almost like, we're just like cringing over here. Like, what are you doing?
I'm learning though. It does not need to make sense in order for it to work or for it to be successful, you know?
Right.
Now I know that. And I honestly thinking about which Jasmine you're talking about, that part of not thinking is probably a superpower, because for me, that's all I know is I don't do things without thinking about them. So that's not a thing for me. So I think that's probably kind of amazing that you can live life in that much freedom.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is. It works for me. I mean, listen, I think that other people have more organized success probably than I do. And
depends on other things in the design, like for sure.
Right. Like I definitely am not thinking, but I'm just like doing the next right thing for me. And a lot of that's not necessarily in business, but I will say in business, when I do put in too much effort of too many thoughts into something, it falls flat. Like when I start to like think and overthink and what's this going to be and how's this going to look, as soon as I start doing that, everything just like the wind is out of the sail, nothing happens. It's terrible. So I kind of just like jellyfish. I kind of just float along and then something catches my little shimmer, catches my eye. And I'm like, that's the direction I'm going in. until I'm not going in that direction anymore.
I want to point out something really significant here, because a defined head MG and an undefined head MG are incredibly different. There are a lot of teachings in human design that caution undefined head, particularly totally open head MGs, because as Jasmine's kind of alluding to, as soon as they get into that undefined head space and it's a little bit, let's say, too spacious, too many thoughts coming in, they completely get the spins and they are spinning. They're not even moving forward. They're not going, they're just crashing into things, spinning. And there's this caution in human design. You have so much energy, but when that pressure center is open, it can really take over the MG in particular more than any of the other types can experience. It's because of the nature of the MG. So Jasmine, I actually think when you're like, I'm not thinking, I think you are in alignment with what's correct for you and what's supportive of you, because it would be very easy for you to get into the car, nail the gas, and it's still in park and the wheels are going and the car is kind of spinning.
Right.
Because I've also seen defined head MGs who are quite systematic, who do see bah, 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 and then they go and they run through that whole list. Like, so it does depend on the design, but that particular pressure center can really influence how the MG navigates the plane, navigates their reality. And I think it's funny how we're like, oh, you could do this, but you could do this, especially with, there's a lot of head energy here. And you're like, actually, I can't do that. As soon as I do that, I lose my way. And it's super overwhelming. I've got this flow in my body that works for me and things get done, even though they don't need to make sense.
Right. And I get more done by going to the art studio where I'm not doing any business stuff. So I go to my studio and I start making art and I start playing around. And then when I leave there, suddenly I have like 10 new ideas for things I want to do in my business, but I don't ever just sit down and think, oh, I need to think about this business, because cricket.
So what's the execution process look like then? You've just gone to the art studio, you've drummed up these cool ideas. How do you select the ones you want to do or not do? And what does that look like for execution purposes?
Well, I mean, the only way that I ever select anything is that I generally it's a sacral feeling, like which one's going to work. And then if they're all a sacral yes, then it boils down to like, when I start writing, what flows out the easiest? You know, what flows easiest. And also,
so like, writing is your process.
Right.
That's a classic, like you got thoughts in the head, write it out, get it outside of the head on paper so you can see it out of your head, materialize, you can do something with it.
I think being an MG, but also having a wide open head, everything for me like lives in the ethers. So I have to grab it and bring it down and then putting it on paper. And sometimes it's just gibberish on paper. And then I can like make sense of it from there. But yeah, if I don't make something concrete or material, then nothing ever happens with it.
So what's a typical day look like then? You've got three girls you take care of. Like what's a typical day? And you're going to be somewhat, just even knowing you, the nature of you and your life, orienting around their school schedule too.
Yeah. My whole life orients around their school schedule. Yeah. We're up at like 6:15, and then I'm probably a little like Rachel's partner where I'm like, okay, I'm up, I'm putting my feet on the ground and I just go start doing things. Like, you know, I used to try to meditate in the morning, but I can't really do that. Like I do that later in the day by myself when there's nobody else here. But once there's like, if there's action in the house, then I have to like, just be part of the action, like get the thing going. So yeah, we just like do lunches, do breakfast, do all the stuff out the door. And then I spend probably an inordinate amount of time talking on the phone to my friends every day for like an hour between like 8 and 9.
That's so, can we stay there for a second?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's what we do every day.
Right away, we want to almost discredit that because we're like, you should be using your time to get to work. But what you're showing me is no, that's where your pleasure comes in. I spend chunk of the day on Boxer. Bop, 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 bop. Like it's the same thing. And what it does for me is it kind of, and your fourth line too, establishes these little connections that are energy giving in a way and exciting. Like to me, that's a pleasure experience. So you're just like, no, I'm not going to do the meditation, another pleasure experience. That doesn't work for me. I need to go do this. Mm-hmm. So you've just figured out what your energy giving thing is. An hour isn't that long.
No, it's not. And sometimes it's a little longer. Don't tell anyone, but I need that pleasure. And I also need the connection. I think for MGs working from home solo, can sometimes which is why I got the art studio, because I would be in my house and like, oh, maybe I should fold this laundry or maybe I should just,
oh, totally.
You know, and then feel uninspired. And then the more uninspired I feel, the less I won't get any work done. And I won't get
because the responsibilities of the home itself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they feel like they're totally. Like looming. So yeah, and that's always a sacral pull, even though it's not. Well, I think it brings that quick satisfaction to just fold the laundry or do the dishes. You know,
also undefined root, Jasmine. Like, okay, get it done so it's out of the way. Like,
right. And you talked about this a little bit, I think, last time we chatted, where it's like when your space feels like there's too many things in there, you're like, I can't think. So I suddenly go. Close all the cabinets, shut all the doors. I can't have all this stuff around. So
you're also caves. So you're just creating your environment. Fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I do. I talk on the phone and I get a lot of pleasure from that.
That's real.
And then I usually listen to something. I listen to music all day. I'm a music.
Pleasure. Again. Music. And you work with music.
Really inspiring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I, you know, figure out what I'm going to do. Usually I'm behind the eight ball on something. I owe someone something. So
who do I owe something to today? Yeah.
That's how it goes. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm never ahead of the game. Really. I'm always and probably I've got a text or somebody's like, are you sending that? And I'm like, I am here. I have something to respond to.
Oh, you're in the game. You're in the thick of it. In the game.
I'm in the game. Yeah. And then I do my little, you know, I only post on Instagram when I have something to say.
Yeah.
I can't do the whole, I have a plan of it. So I started doing that. I started batching for a while. Then I was like, I hate all of this content. I hated all of it. Yeah. I got rid of all of it. Yeah. I made it all. I did 30 days worth. Oh, no. And then by day four, I was like, this is bullshit. This is not what I want to say.
I've changed my mind. This isn't a reflection of me. You got to really capture it in the moment.
AC would not like that plan. Yeah. She'd be annoyed by me. But yeah, no, I got rid of it all. And then I just realized, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have everything set and it's going to be very plain and my hashtags are set and everything's already done. So all I have to do is quick bang out the post.
Supports you.
And then it's done and it's fast. If it can be fast, then I don't mind doing it. But if it's going to be treacherous, then we got to do something else.
Because otherwise you lose it, right? You move on. It's like, okay, this isn't even me. I'm not even here anymore. I've left it. That's why I can see why 30 days of content pre-planning wouldn't work, because you've become 12 different people in that time frame. You know,
right. It's like MGs and meal planning. Don't talk to me about food for, you know, food in 4 days. I don't know. I'm going.
Gotta go to the grocery store every day.
I go every day. Every day, at least 4 times a week. And my friend, Mike's girlfriend, she's a projector. And she's like, you and Mike go to the grocery store more than any people I've ever met. He's my ex-husband. She's like, I don't know. She's like, he can just be like, I'll just stop at the store. I'm like, yeah, because we're inspired. We're not
this poor projector. She's like, what the hell?
Yeah. She's like, you're driving me crazy.
Alan used to go every day. After work.
Okay, but this is all fourth line stuff too, though. I do wonder how that plays in, because it's it is this little what's going on? It's this little weird check-in. Not weird, excuse me, but
yeah, I'm not, I don't do that. The grocery store for me is solely I think I need a baguette. Maybe we need donuts.
You know what I mean?
I need something delicious and something satisfying.
And I didn't know I needed that yesterday. So
yeah. It's right now. So yeah, that's it. And then my day is kind of interesting because the kids come home at 3:30 and I don't get anything done between 3:30 and 6:00, but I can sit down and get back to work in the evening if everybody's busy and doing their stuff.
Taken care of, right? Handled. Yeah.
Yeah. Handled. Yeah. As long as that's the big thing, right. Everything, I need things to be handled so that I can do things. There's chaos going on outside of my door.
No.
I'm not focused at all.
Can't even pay attention to what you're paying attention to.
Yeah. So I'm a very fast worker. So if I need to, I was just talking to someone, my daughter she's a projector and she has ADHD. And sometimes I think, do I have ADHD? And then I think, no, I'm just a manifesting generator, because I actually have, I'm making a conscious decision to not do things. You know, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm consciously saying, I'm not doing that. I'm going to put my focus here. But then when the pressure's on, I can just bang it out, get it done. I have the energy to get things done quickly.
I'm the same when there's a bit of pressure. I actually can't do much without a little bit of pressure. I'm learning. I'm like, you know,
we got time. We got all the time.
That's also an ADHD thing though. Cause ADHD. So I've learned a lot about this, cause I live with two people with ADHD and it's just so different. I I'm motivated by looking ahead and thinking, this is also, I'm also fear motivation. So we have to think about this, but most neurotypical people are motivated by like looking ahead and being like, okay, I need to get this done by this time. So I'm going to do this in a way that allows me the time that I need to do that. It's like, that is, I guess, executive functioning, they call it, you know, it's like, you're looking ahead, you're kind of tracing back, like, how long is this going to take me? Whereas ADHD people, they're actually motivated by the urgency. And so that's really fascinating to me, like living with two people who are like this, I'm just like, oh my God, how are these guys ever gonna do this? Cause I'm thinking like, they're gonna get down to the wire and get really stressed out like I would, but no, it's like they get down to the wire, they focus, they're ready, they get it done. It's like not a problem. So
yeah,
it's just very, very interesting.
Maybe I do have it because I can do the same
thing. Sorry. I gotta step in here. Cause I got opinions about this. And I think actually nothing to disagree with what Rachel is saying, but I think we're very quick to diagnose things as ADHD when Rachel's examples are also both, I believe, undefined head manifesting generators. So when you start studying energetics, and I've done a lot about this and studying variables and which way the brain orients and which way the mind orients, I don't necessarily think a lot of people who are diagnosed as ADHD are ADHD. I think they have a different style of functioning and it's the world who doesn't know how to support them. And then we just give them this classification and oftentimes medication when we just don't actually understand they have a completely different process than what we would deem typical of other people.
Well, basically what we're calling a certain human design layout ADHD right. is basically what it is.
Yeah.
We have like prioritized a different
totally
way of doing it. Yeah.
Design over this other one. So we've decided one's a disorder and one's not. So
I wholeheartedly agree with Vanessa because I totally was like finding myself because there has been a wave of ADHD advertising, especially in women.
Yeah, there is.
And with all of these pills and these and that. And I was like, do I have ADHD? And then I was just like, girl, you got an open head center.
Relax. Yes.
Like just
right.
Like you have a different process. Life. You have a different intake
like,
schedule.
Chill out. Oh, cause I was totally like, oh my God, do I have ADHD? Like, did my mom miss this? Did my parents miss this?
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, you have an open head center. And then you also have gate 63 activated. So you doubt everything. So that's what the hell you got.
Yeah.
Like I had to like reel it in. So I totally agree with you, Vanessa.
Yeah.
But I will also say little devil's advocate there too. I think there are a lot of people who can function without medication if they're just in the right supportive environment. But like my stepson, he doesn't like his life without his medication. He doesn't feel he functions at all. He doesn't feel he gets anything done. And this is like fully free in his own, just his play, like his own projects.
But it's not only ADHD diagnosed, has other things as well that he's been diagnosed with.
He has other things, but most of this is the ADHD. Like he feels like all he does is break things. So I think there are some people who can benefit from medication and things like that. It's not just,
I agree completely with you. My daughter, my 15-year-old she has inattentive ADHD and she's not on medication, but she would benefit from it. I know she would because she literally is she's deeply frustrated with herself, like in her abilities of focusing and being able to like get it together and feel good in her body and feel good and productive. And we just haven't done it yet because she's like a teeny tiny kid, you know, like I don't want to, like, we don't know if like stimulants are necessarily like something that we're trying like other stuff, but
on the topic of that and being devil's advocate, I have a brilliant self-projected younger sister who had divorced parents who did not know how to deal with her. Keep in mind, brilliant individual who was medicated really young because the parents were unable to figure out what to do with her. And then she was not informed that she was even medicated and what it was. She was taking pills, but you're a kid. I don't know what it's for. Later finds this out as an adult that's her diagnosis and the why. So I think there's a whole other conversation here that is like caregivers and society don't know what to do with the individual who is not quote unquote neurotypical. So they throw some medication at it. I got a lot of hard energy here about this story, just based on witnessing that. And the complications and complexes she develops as an adult based on that whole experience, when it's just like, she literally can design her life now in a way that supports her. She's in the arts. She's a teacher. She's absolutely brilliant. And she's self-projected, just needs to fucking talk things out. So no, don't talk, take this pill, go do that. Like, she just was not supported. And I do think there is a huge conversation and a group of people who just need a different style of support. And we haven't culturally figured that out yet. Our style is to throw medication at things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a person to person basis.
Totally person to person.
It's like, there isn't just like one answer right. to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough as a parent too, because like listening to you talk about your sister, my daughter's a self-projected projector. She's brilliant. She's so artistic. She's all these things, but I'll tell you, I can support her as much as I want, but if her self-esteem is low, like hurt because she's
low energy,
doesn't finish projects, and she doesn't get good grades, and she doesn't remember things. Yeah. She's very like, her executive function is like, she can remember one thing, and then she comes back and goes, "Hey, what did you say to me?" Sometimes you're like, okay, you might need a little help here. You know what I mean? Like, there might be something that needs to get connected so that you can feel good. And yeah. And so we are like,
you guys, but we're also putting them in a school system that is not supportive of these types of beings. Yeah. And we're saying you're not getting good grades because that entire system isn't actually supportive of the way you function. This is going to get so murky as we get older.
Right. And listen, I'm like the number one fan. I'm like, listen, I don't care. I mean, I'm going to be on this thing. That I don't care about school, like high school, whatever. Like, I don't think you need to like learn any of that stuff. Like, you go to like seventh grade and then go do something else that you want to do.
Bye.
Yeah. Adios. Unless you want to be a doctor or something, you know, or something that requires you to do this stuff. But the thing is, we've signed up for this.
I'm going to be the worst. I'm going to be like, you finished seventh grade, go start a business. Why not? Yeah. You can do it.
You got what you need.
Yeah. Get that. Listen, I've been saying that. That's the MG in me. That's the MG in me. I've been telling my girls, I'm like, this is the time in your life. You're 13 and 15, cottage industry. Like, learn how to do things that you like to do and then turn them into businesses. By the time you're in college, you'll be like, I don't even need this shit. I already have something else going on.
Oh, the whole thing's going to change in the next decade. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2027's coming in here. We're flipping paradigms. Like, it's just like, what we can do with the internet now, like, I don't know we're learning how corrupt the school systems are, how abused they are through people with excess privilege. And it's just like, the whole thing is crumbling down, and these kids aren't stupid. Like,
no, they're brilliant. They're smart. They're way smarter than we are.
Speaking of being a doctor, my 6-year-old MG is like, on Fridays when I'm a rocket scientist, I'm going to learn this. But then on Thursdays when I'm a doctor, is my boss going to tell me what to do the surgery? I was like, no. So we're learning about school and what we want to do.
Yeah. I love that. I love, that's like a perfect little MG thing.
Do whatever you want. Go do a million things. Who cares? Learn.
Do whatever you want. Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say that my thing as an MG parent is, do whatever you want, but you better be doing something. Like, that's like, my energy is very much like with my projector and my manifestor, like, are you guys still sleeping? Like, what's happening around here? Like, we need to
leave us alone.
Get a little pep in our step. Yeah. And they don't have, they're not nearly as zippy, as you know, the generator and I are.
No, my family, my generators, they let me sleep in sometimes. Like, I went to bed the other night.
I mean, I let them sleep in, but dude, it's 1 o'clock. Like,
I know, but sometimes I went to bed at like 9 and woke up at 9 or 11. And I'm like, I guess I needed it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like a different output.
Yeah, it's so different. Yeah.
I want to go to Rachel for a second different. Here because Rachel lives with two MGs.
Just one, actually.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Who's
Yeah, Tyler's a generator.
Just a generator. Okay, so Rachel lives with the one MG. You worked with him like in a corporate setting and now romantically at home with your own personal projects. What's it been like witnessing somebody who does that, who works this way, who is an MG?
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I think one of the things that's very interesting about him, which kind of flies in the face of an MG stereotype, is that he's actually been at the same job for 20 years now. Same company, same job.
Love that you brought that up.
The job has evolved a lot over time. And the reason he's able to stay there, I would say, is because at least now it's a very MG friendly job. He's constantly working on new projects, doing new things, jumping in, helping, like nothing. It's not like a generator grind. But
And Rachel, doesn't he get to stand up at his job?
Stand up.
Doesn't he have a standing up desk?
He did at his office. Now he's been at home, so he doesn't. Okay. But actually what's interesting about him is that he will kind of like sit down. And this is an interesting thing too for as an MG. Part of this may be just being a hyper-focused person because with what, you know, societally we call ADHD, because he loves what he's doing. So because he loves it, and he's pretty right in the mind, actually. So it doesn't quite fit. I would think, oh, he's super left.
He's right in the mind.
He's
right in the mind.
Yeah. He's very right. He has a lot of rightness. Yeah. So he actually will sit down like first thing in the morning and barely even gets up to like eat or pee. Just has no, it's like, he has time blindness. It's like 8 hours will go by and he doesn't even
move. My kid's like that. So, yeah.
It's very, very interesting. That would not be the case if he didn't love what he did. But the other reason I think it works for him is because he always has other outlets. So he has constantly always
totally
a project going on in the basement. I'm really inspired. We have like a workshop in our basement just filled with like wires and 3D printers and computers.
That's Jasmine's art studio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like MG, I know a lot of MGs who have been in the same quote unquote job or field for a long time. They all have other things going on. Projects are super passionate about, cars they're restoring, a painting side thing. They all like they have their creative outlets, I would say.
Yep. And physical. It's yes. Like he's got bike riding.
Cycling.
Yeah, cycling. And this workshop with all these things. And I'm really inspired by the way that he does this because he has no goal in mind. It is just pure pleasure. And it's like the second he's done with work, it's like a magnet. He's down in that basement, back at the tinkering. He's also a 2-4. Mm-hmm. So there's that naturalness. His design is very similar to Jasmine's actually. Mm-hmm. There's that naturalness of just like, no idea who's watching him. He's not aware really of like what's going on. And he's just tinkering. And like, I have to go down and tell him it's bedtime at like midnight. Otherwise he will literally, like I asked him, I was like, so before I appeared in your life, was the way that this worked just that you would like have no idea what time it was, accidentally stay up till 3, be tired the next day, and then just end up going to bed early, and that cycle would just go on and on and on. He was like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
yeah.
Jasmine, yeah.
That's right. How he operates.
Yeah. I operate a bit like that, you know?
I'm not really like that. Like, I have a very good internal, like, I like to like shut it down. I'm like, okay, tomorrow, I'm like excited for tomorrow. Like, I have that vibe usually, you know, like, what's gonna go on tomorrow?
Oh my God. So cute, Jasmine. I love that.
That's how I am actually. And that is like, when I feel my energy ending for that day, sometimes even I'll have a little left and I'll be like, oh, I really am excited for tomorrow. So I want to like go to bed now. I think that's a sacral being thing. Actually, as much as you want satisfaction, sometimes it's really good to leave a little thing undone so that like you're excited to get up the next day.
Yeah.
You guys are so weird to me. Like, dude, you know what's really fun? Leave a little thing undone. Jeez. Okay, sorry. Go.
Rachel, when you were talking in the generator episode about tracking your time and knowing, like, being able to, like, feel like, oh, satisfied. I did this. So first of all, I don't think an MG would ever do that. Like, that is not something that I would like. The idea of even setting up a system tracker to like track my time, like, boom, my mind is blown.
Alan has to for work, and he does it on the last day of the month, every month for the whole month.
That's when I would be doing, I'd be like, son of a bitch. Like, if I had to do reimbursements or something, I'm like, all these freaking receipts. Like, now I got to do 1,000 receipts, but then I just quick bang them out. But the thing that I do like to do, I never have a list, but at the end of the day, sometimes if I want to feel really good, I write down everything I did and then I just cross it all off.
Oh my God. And it works for you. Like, love that. You're like, look at all the things I did. Pop, 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 pop.
Did it. I did so many things. I'm so satisfied. I'm so successful. It's so great. And then it's like bullshit. Cause I mean, I don't know. I didn't plan on doing any of those things, but they were the right things to
do. No, but another thing though, that I really witnessed as a non-sacral, sacred beings, generators, and many gens, they actually, I don't have a full realization and appreciation for just how much they fucking do. Honest to God. Like you wake up and you take care of you, all the shit that you do with your girls in the morning just to prepare them for the day. Yeah. That would be too much for me for one fucking day. I would not be able to do anything else for the rest of the day. And I have one kid and I literally have to hand it off to the generator to be like, I don't got it today. You got it. And he's got it. And they get up, they do their rhythm. And as soon as I come in to kind of participate in the rhythm, there's a fight or whatever. I've messed up the rhythm. So I'm like, I'm just going to sleep. And then I'll participate in the things in the evening once I'm fully turned on and fully awake and ready to go. I don't know.
Right. That's a great system.
I don't know what I would do if I was a single parent manifester with a child. That would be very challenging for me. But I imagine in some scenes I would be, let's say my partner and I separated, we would be sharing the duties. So I would have a week on, a week off, or whatever the shakeout would be. But I have a full appreciation for the volume that he does not realize he does. And I have to sometimes say like, yeah, you've unloaded the dishwasher, cleaned the kitchen, vacuumed, drove him to school, packed his lunch, worked out, like you've done more than I do in 3 days. And it's only 9 o'clock.
Right. And then, but then it's like, that's just easy for us to do.
That's energy giving to him.
Yeah. Like the more I do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, I would say that like, and we've talked about this a little bit before, like the more creative I am, the more I can create, the more sex I have, the more sex I want to have. Like I don't ever like reach, like there's no, I'm like, give it to me. I want it all now.
Derek's been doing more creative work and everything around the house, 10 times better. I'm like, what? Just having the house things with no satisfaction. It was like starting to get cloudy. Then he has these creative projects that he continuously completes every day. He then is more sexual too. It's like always, always touching me, or like the whole pleasure center is at, it's
all the same energy.
All the same energy.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
All the
same. So prioritizing that pleasure just makes the work better, you know?
Right.
Everything.
Makes everything for me. I mean, I'm assuming for everybody that's like that, but for me, the more I feel, the better, you know, the juicier everything is, the better it is and the easier it is. And then, and I talked to so many MGs, especially emotional MGs.
Oh, different creature.
Like,
yeah.
Different creature, but they're also very like, but I can't figure that out, but I can't. And I'm like, okay, wait, but you just got to do it. And then you're going to start to feel it. And then once you start feeling it, like it will inform the feeling and then it will all feel better, but they won't like get through that piece of it, you know, at the beginning, they feel kind of stuck.
No, but that's advanced. Right. When you're just learning your energy, that's cultivated through experience.
Right. But it's really interesting because once you cultivate it, you got it.
You got it.
You got it forever. Like you don't ever have to like, you're like, okay, the light's on. So now I can just do it. And now immediately if I'm like, oh, something's wrong or like something, I'm doing something, I can like course correct like that. Like it's like, and then I don't ever have to think about anything, feeling it with my body.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a Human Design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.